your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, that's me, Rick Moore, the famous, the world famous, the well world traveled, and the somewhat sexy Rick Moore here in the studio today, March 1st. Everyone, please wish a happy birthday to my mother, whose birthday is tomorrow. Happy birthday, Mom, because I'm sure you're lounging at home, not golfing, not in church. So happy birthday. We do have an interesting topic today, and I hope everyone is ready for it. We are going to talk about economics and how that plays into the life of senior citizens. We have a couple guests in the studio today. Let me introduce them. Jean McCusker, how are you, ma'am?
I'm great. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. And we also have Uma, is it Ezel?
Yes.
Uma Ezel, and I promise not to mess that up, but three or four times.
It's good to be here.
And thank you as well. If everybody can get just a little closer to their microphone, you know, it's just how we want it. We like everyone to invade their personal space. So today we are going to talk about economics and senior citizens. Again, it's one of those personal topics. A couple weeks ago, just after Valentine's Day, we did people whose lives weren't so wonderful in the terms of romance, someone who grew up in a divorced family, another guest who had was on his second marriage. And so asking people to talk about such personal topics isn't always so easy. So as far as guests go in terms of a senior citizen who are suffering or who are having the current economic situation, money in their lives not working out to the way they might have planned it several years ago, we're looking for that aspect of things during the hour, so please call us up and participate during this program. You can be here in several ways. Sean is here to answer the phone today. We can put you through. You don't have to give your real name. You can be anonymous. You can dial up, and Sean can take your question or your comment and pass it through that way if you feel the need for that. There's always the instant message on the computer, WNRN Studio, on the AOL system here. Gene and Una can give their side of things in their reputation. Gene McCusker, Home Instead Senior Care for the medical aspect. Una, a retention coordinator, a sort of human resources aspect of things for hiring folks. And we'll talk about how senior citizens returning or attempting to stay into the workforce. And then a little later on during the hour, about the time of the first break, we're going to be calling Jim Duncan, a local realtor here in town, and talk about how the real estate market is working on a senior citizen in any positive or negative manner. So write the number down, stretch out the fingers, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's the toll-free number. And hopefully all those down in the Lynchburg 89.9 area and Lovingston 94.7, as well as Richmond, Harrisonburg, and Lexington are listening today. And don't forget, when you call up, we're not sure exactly how the weather's playing out there. Maybe tell Sean that your roads are nasty and icy. Those of us here in Charlottesville, we had a nice, pretty snow, but it didn't really do anything to the roads this morning, no ice, et cetera. So let us know how your weather is doing. All right, off to the topic at hand, economics and the senior citizen. Ladies, Jean McCusker, Una Ezel, I'm curious, how has the current economic situation affected the average senior citizen?
Well, Rick, we're kind of in a unique position at Home Instead Senior Care that we take care of people in their homes, but the majority of our employees are senior citizens as well. So we're seeing an increased need for care, an increased need for employment for the seniors because they are struggling with the economy as is everybody else.
Do you have any information, like a statistic about what might have happened since things kicked? Because this all goes back to September, right? Do you have any comparison from before September as opposed to the current situation?
Well, Home Instead Senior Care did a national study of almost 1,200 seniors and 16,000 caregivers, and the information was actually pre-economy issues, and I found it fascinating because they were saying three-fourths of our senior citizens polled had incomes under $3,000 a month, and two-thirds of those folks had assets under $75,000 total. So this population was already struggling, and now that they are on limited incomes and services are being cut or at least grandfathered, we're seeing more and more people out there struggling to make ends meet.
So what I hear you telling me is that this goes back before anything that might have happened from September 2008 forward. $3,000 a month, that's $36,000.
And that's not a lot of money when you figure you are paying for your Medicare insurance, a lot of drugs, for medications for high blood pressure, any type of facility that you want to live in. Currently, the average cost for a nursing home for a year nationwide is about $77,000 a year. So you can see where this person, if they were to have one issue, would immediately go under.
Well, what is the cost for, let's say that you meet the minimum age. Are we talking 65 years and older here?
For Medicare, and if you're disabled, you can be younger.
I realize that AARP starts at 50.
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, but let's push it up to what I consider to be, and I think the average person might consider to be a senior citizen, which is general retirement age, 65, I think, for many corporations and businesses where, hey, you just had your 65th birthday. Here's your gold watch. Thank you so much. Disappear. So from 65 on, if you're making $36,000 in from wherever it comes, Social Security, pension fund, 401k, IRA, wherever, $36,000, and you're still living at home, you don't have the, you just said, $75,000 pay for assisted living facility, and you do have high blood pressure. What is that costing? What percentage of my $36,000 is that?
That's hard to gauge just based on what prescription plan they're on through Medicare. There's just all sorts of expenses that are coming up that quickly eat away at that income. A lot of us think, oh, that's a decent amount of money. The majority are less than that. So I would have to say that most people are struggling and making anywhere. I have some clients that are on incomes of $700-$800 a month. And I don't know any of us that could live on $700-$800 a month and have to pay for insurance and food and other things. So we're really seeing that lower bracket struggling. And where the economy has hit recently is that 25% that's above $3,000. Now, all of a sudden, their assets are worth a lot less.
What resources are available to the elderly then as far as financial aid? Because if you don't have enough money to even pay for your assisted living facility, or if you don't have enough money to pay for any necessary medical expenses, where do you get financial aid?
Well, there's a Meals on Wheels program that a lot of people take advantage of. But I was just reading online in Detroit, there are 700 hungry seniors on a waiting list right now for Meals on Wheels. And I don't know if you've had much experience. It's a wonderful program, but it's not what everyone would hope for necessarily, or what you might be used to. So,
And most of the services are available through social services. So we have Meals on Wheels. We have there are some companion funds for people to get help at home. Usually they're anywhere from 4 hours to 10 hours a week is the maximum that a senior can qualify. Both the city and county have waiting lists for those programs. So when somebody doesn't have somebody to help them, they go without. It really is that basic. It's not like the Calvary comes in and says, oh, well, there's no money. Let's get somebody else in here. These folks are going without.
But are all these figures, and so let's, I don't want to just focus on our listening area, Central Virginia, because that's a, not disappointing, but disheartening figure that Uma, you gave to me about Detroit. But what are we talking about in terms of how the economic situation has affected the waiting list that has been tossed out here? So there's a waiting list. There's always a waiting list. Any social service aspect, it seems like there is always a waiting list. It doesn't matter whether you're a senior citizen, whether you're a young woman who's happens to be a single mother trying to take care of your children, whether you're someone who's trying to recover from a drug addiction, there's always a waiting list.
Well, there was an article in the Daily Progress on January 11th where they quoted Albemarle County Social Services, and they were saying currently there's 15 people on the waiting list for home care services. That doesn't seem like a lot. All of us would say, oh, that's only 15 people. But that's the 15 that we know of. That's the 15 people that have actually reached out and asked for help that knew there is help. I always, whenever I have an opportunity to speak publicly, I always encourage people, check on that neighbor. Una was doing some research for this show, and in one state, there was a senior that froze to death because they turned off the power because they were behind, and no one checked on the senior.
Where the hell was that?
I'm not sure. I think it was in Tennessee somewhere. My sister told me about it. Yeah.
But this happens.
Mind-boggling.
This
mm-hmm.
happens all the time. People forget about our elderly, and we treat them like second-class citizens. And often they're in a neighborhood where there's a family that could stop by. You know what? Teach your children to reach out and care for people, and that could be your customer or community service project that you're teaching your child to go next door and check on Mrs. Smith, to take her trash out, to say, hey, how are you today? Can I sweep your sidewalk? We really need to take care of these folks because the writing's on the wall. The baby boomers are coming. And it's going to be seniors taking care of seniors, community taking care of seniors. The prediction is in the next 10 years, the caregiving population, the people that actually take care of seniors in paid positions, will need to more than double, meaning we need over 2 million caregivers in the next 10 years to take care of the people that are going to be aging in our system. And our system's not going to be able to handle that financially.
What I love about Homestead Senior Care is that we're an AARP National Employer Team member, which means that we are looking specifically for mature workers. More than 60% of our caregivers are over the age of 50. And it feels good to be a part of something that's supporting those folks who are faced with the challenge of going back to work and who don't want to have to stand on their feet for eight hours a day or more at minimum wage. And they want to make a difference. And also assist our elderly clients with that kinship of spirit. And, you know, I was reading this article also about how most of these folks, you know, they've lived through the Great Depression. They're used to doing without. And so a lot of times they will be hesitant to speak up and say something when they need help. But just if we tune our ears a little bit differently, you know, when we're standing in line at the pharmacy for our medications, listen to those people who may be asking for help in their own special way and take the action to make a difference in little ways.
We are talking about economics and senior citizens here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Una Ezell, Human Resources, Gene McCusker, Homestead Senior Care. A little later on, we will be calling Jim Duncan, who's a realtor, to talk about that aspect of the economics and its effect on senior citizens. We've mentioned social programs. What social programs are available? You mentioned
there's Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels, thank you. All I could think of was drive up with food, which is something I'm waiting to happen at my house.
Well, we could get you Meals on Wheels.
Well, I don't need that.
For a small donation.
What about United Way? Are they part of...
United Way sponsors a lot of programs out there that help seniors. Where most people get their information if they have somebody in need is they would typically call social services and talk to the Adult Protective Service Department. Social services in the senior world is very different than in the child situation where they go in and they take the child. When somebody is a senior and they need programs, they can go through social services, and social services does a wonderful job of assessing the situation, saying, hey, we can get you qualified for Meals on Wheels. Let's look at some other things for medications. You can go to JABA, the Jefferson Area Board on Aging. They have some wonderful programs that for Medicare. A lot of the programs with Medicare, say the prescription cards, you have to go online to fill that out. In our research, we said less than 10% of seniors are on the internet. So trying to get that paperwork filled out can be a challenging part of the entire system. So there are wonderful organizations, like I said, JABA, that will help seniors navigate that.
What about MACA? I'm mentioning all that, and caller, hold on, please, because we didn't just come up with this program to talk about and to talk to the seniors, because you've already mentioned baby boomers. There are children. There are family members that are there to, in any way possible, support the senior citizens, and hopefully they're listening, or the neighbor is listening. And let's give them all the information that they need, or have them dial up and answer any question that they have on where to go to find the help that they need, whether it's to offer personal help or whether it's to find the organization or the program that may be able to do so. So isn't MACA strictly or mainly for senior citizen help?
No, MACA focuses on poverty, and a lot of their programs are focused on children.
So much for that idea. Region 10?
Mental health.
No senior citizens fall into either category?
They would fall into the category as that particular program focuses on people with mental health. If they were senior,
it would be secondary.
Region 10 would definitely take care of them, mm-hmm. or help.
All right, let me take this call, who might actually have some information that's correct, unlike mine. We have Gary from Albemarle. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good morning. This topic is so important, and frankly, it's so personally exasperating as well. I get frustrated. I've got 80-year-old parents, and I'm actually, my job is to take care of an 87-year-old lady, but it is my private business. I'm paid by that family to take care of her. I'm a compassionate person, and I know there are thousands, tens of thousands of people in this country that are only living on, you know, a few hundred dollars a month from Social Security or whatever it might be that have disabilities. But I have a huge difficulty of getting across the hump of how much other taxpayers should be held responsible for people who are poor and in a problem situation. I'd like to, I guess, hear from your guests how much they think government, state government, local government, federal government, how much money from other taxpayers' pockets should go to people who through hard luck or laziness or whatever can't make it. And I'll just hang up and listen.
All right, man. Thanks.
Ooh, that's a touchy one.
Hey, that's some of what we're here for.
I know. And Gary, I agree with you on that as well. I struggle with how much should we have to take care of people based on their poor decision-making. But I also feel that a lot of these folks were hardworking individuals that did hourly jobs, and they were our cashiers. They were our mechanics. They're the people that cleaned people's houses privately because we don't want to pay the taxes, so we pay them $50 under the table, and they don't get Social Security. And so it does get to a point where society is somewhat responsible for helping them. Yes, they weren't financial planners and invested tons of money, but they're going to end up in the system somehow. And how do we do that in an economical fashion to take care of people and, you know, make sure that the government's not paying for everything, but they are taken care of? My biggest pet peeve is people without insurance. They use ER as primary care. society's paying for that. Our insurance is paying for that. So we have to come to some type of happy medium to take care of people.
And it just seems to me by 11:20 here in the wake-up call, Gary, wonderful question. It takes us down a lot of roads here. About it, there are a lot of folks in multiple social situations that we are using our taxes to pay for. And I guess one of my questions out there to anyone would be, isn't that what those taxes are for? We use them to pay for roads on which many poor drivers and illegal drivers are using, and are we doing anything about that? The taxes go towards a jail system, which is being, in my personal opinion, and it's not the topic for today, overfilled with what would otherwise be nonviolent and minuscule law breaking. And the taxes go to a lot of areas that I would disagree with. And while I understand Gary's question, one of the things that I would put at the top of my list is taking care of my parents and my grandparents and anyone else in my circle who can provide something to me and to my friends as expertise and life living and knowledge of what they've been through and social history and so many other things. I see the phones ringing, and I'll let Sean take this call a little later on. We're going to call Jim Duncan. But let me do this before we get into that. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Cloudy, light rain in the afternoon today. Highs 33 to 36. Snow showers tonight with lows 22 to 27. And then snow showers tomorrow morning with an overcast afternoon. Highs 30 to 35 on Monday. Right now, light snow in the valley where it's 32. Mostly cloudy in Lynchburg where it's 33. And some clouds in Richmond where it's 34. And in Charlottesville, it's cloudy and 32.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank 405fix.com for being here for us today. If you have a project but not the time, there's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, it's 405fix.com. Immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And just a reminder, lots of radio stations and other music sources out there, but only one that brings you a program like the Wake Up Call every Sunday. And the only reason we can do this is because of listeners like R.K. Ramazzani, Kathy Hinchy, Molly and Jim Kroll, all of whom supported it in WNRN's fund drive in the past fall. It's also because of program underwriters like the ones you hear today, as well as Eloise and Integral Yoga. So stay tuned. Tell a friend about this program and any others you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us during the upcoming fund drive this spring. And the last caller wanted to pass along a question to our female guests, Jean McCusker and Una Ezell, and ask you to comment on how much of our taxes go to the military. I don't have any idea whether you know that answer.
I don't either.
I have no idea. I would assume a significant amount.
And obviously, I think that guest was trying to make a point from Gary's question as well. All right, ladies, sit back, take a moment, and relax. I'm going to call up Jim Duncan, make sure that he remembered I was calling. Jim Duncan is a local realtor in the area.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Jim Duncan. How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Jim Duncan, a local realtor in town. Still with Century 21?
Actually, I just moved to a new company, Nest Realty Group.
Nest Realty Group. Well, let's make sure that we toss out, give you a plug for all your work here on the Wake Up Call.
Well, thank you, Rick.
All right. Jim, you know that we're talking about economics and its effect on current senior citizens. I want to ask you a few questions. Can you tell me what kind of effect that is having on the realty market? I would have thought that there were many seniors counting on the value of their home or its upcoming sale for retirement expenses, and they're not having that option now. Is that true, or am I way off?
Absolutely. I mean, and it's affecting seniors, and it is affecting everybody in the market. But seniors are particularly in a bind, so to speak, because a lot of them were counting on selling whatever profit they had from that house and moving into, you know, the next phase of their respective lives. And we've seen many in our market nationwide who are basically stuck. And many of them are stuck in homes that are significantly larger than they really want or need. The trend in the past, you know, 8-10 years was towards the sprawling McMansions of 4,000 to 6,000 square feet. And that's just too much space for, you know, anybody, much less people who are 65 plus with no kids or pets or anything in the home.
Do you know, you have a percentage maybe for me about the number of folks who were expecting to sell their home for this purchase and use the income from it to move along?
I have no idea. And I think that would be a really interesting stat to have, but I don't know of any way to really determine that because you don't know what position they're in really until you speak to them one-on-one. So without doing a, you know, sort of a door-to-door, it'd be hard to determine that number.
Are these homes already paid for?
Some of them, but a lot of them, you know, again, coming out of the recent market trend, you know, I've heard anecdotal evidence of some seniors who had refied and cashed out and used that money for other things, much like everybody did across the breadth of the market. So, you know, you have some who are 60, 70 years old, still with 20 years left on their mortgages, and they're really not in a position to sell. Because their houses have declined in value.
Well, so what happens to the elderly if their home is foreclosed upon because they are 67 years old with 20 years left on a mortgage that they can no longer afford now that they can't sell the home?
Again, it's quite the dilemma, and I think it speaks to what y'all were discussing earlier. I mean, I think it, when it comes to that, you're really going to look to the community and families to step up and look back to the way, you know, I think it used to be when there were multi-generations living under the same roof or in the same neighborhood or the same development. So I think that, you know, we need to sort of retrench our community and look to supporting the elderly.
Gene, you had a question or a comment?
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, Gene.
Hey, can you comment on reverse mortgages and what you think, if you think they are beneficial to seniors?
I think that they can be. And I'm
hold on just a second.
Put on my disclaimer in that.
Define a reverse mortgage, Jim. I know I'm butting in here, but for those of us who are idiots in terms of mortgage comments, what is a reverse mortgage? And then answer the question.
Basically, it's where you get a mortgage that takes the equity that you have existing in your home and get a sort of a monthly reverse payment back to, you know, to your own pocket. You know, it's borrowing against the equity that you have in your home. So it's sort of a redefinition of cash out home equity line.
So why would I do that at all before you tell me whether it's a good idea or not?
If you have significant equity in your home, and you want to get basically a monthly stipend and borrow against your existing mortgage. And you would get that because if you're on a fixed income and you have gained some equity in your home and you want to recoup that without doing a full-on cash out refi.
And so the bank is going to own my home when I am finished getting the reverse mortgage payments? I mean, is that sort of, I'm selling it to them?
Well, as it is today, the bank holds the note on your mortgage anyway. So it's sort of re-leveraging your mortgage. But again, I think it depends on the individual situation. I don't give blanket advice. I think that it can be the right situation for those who are in a position to take advantage of it. And you know, as anybody who listens to me knows that, that this is the part where I say talk to an expert who does this on a daily basis, is that it's really not my forte. But it is certainly an option for some seniors out there who are in a position to, take advantage of it.
All right, so it may be a good idea. It may be healthy for someone who's a senior citizen. It may not.
It may be, and you can, and you know, you can find both sides of the argument. If you talk to one person, they're going to have a perspective that says that they're not good. Talk to somebody else, and they'll say that they are the best thing ever. I think you need to look at the respective people's agendas and where the person who's giving the advice, where they stand to gain, and find somebody that you trust to give good, solid advice.
All right, we are talking with Jim Duncan, a local realtor. Why am I having so much trouble with that today? The local realtor in our area as part of the housing aspect and economics in the senior citizen. Gene McCusker, Una Ezell, also here in the studio with us today. Jim, as far as homes being sold or homes being built or having additions made, how about construction with the mother-in-law suite? Or some sort of addition to the home because your parents, one of your parents, needs to come live with you because of the inability to put them in an assisted living facility. Do you see more of that?
I see more demand for that. I have yet to see more supply. I've written for a couple of years locally that we just don't have the housing for the people who want that type of house, the type of house that incorporates first-floor living. I mean, there are very few developments in the Charlottesville area that offer true one-level living. And it's not a retirement facility, just regular single-family home where it has the wide doorways for people to be able to age in place if they do end up in a wheelchair. And just the on-grade entry and the garage on the same level as the kitchen. We don't have that much inventory in our market. And I know that there's a lot of demand for it, and there has been for years, but it's something that the market has not yet responded to. There are a couple developments I'm aware of that are starting to incorporate those things, but not on a development-wide level. Sort of, it's almost hit or miss, and you really need to target search for it. But there's absolutely a significant demand for it. In no small part because the Charlottesville area has been roundly seen as being a top semi-retirement or retirement destination location because of all the things that we have to offer for seniors, not least the medical care.
Jean?
We've actually seen an interesting trend towards helping people in that situation where the child and the parent live together within a home. Where it's getting interesting is as that's usually when they're in that situation, mom or dad is helping contribute to the household income. The minute mom or dad gets sick and needs a higher level of care, it has a crippling effect economically on the household because mom or dad needs an assisted living or needs a nursing home, and mom or dad's resources, that $3,000 or whatever it might be, now needs to go 100% towards their new care. So we're seeing families in houses that they can no longer afford because mom needs to move out or dad needs to move out, and that they can no longer count on that income. So it really does have some bizarre effects on families when you go into different situations thinking this is the best strategy for our family, and then economics dictate otherwise.
It's a really interesting trend, Jean.
All right. Jim, thanks so much for participating with us today. I really appreciate the information and the thoughts put into today's topic, especially the housing aspect of the economics.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Hey, what's your website again?
RealCentralVA.com.
RealCentralVA.com. Thanks so much, Jim.
Take care.
All right, Jim Duncan, local realtor here in the Charlottesville area. Gene McCusker, Una Ezell here in the studio as well. Una, I'm going to do this. I'm going to come back because I want to talk about the working aspect of the retired senior citizen or the individual who needs to turn volunteer work into pay. Support for NRN today also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. If it's keeping warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter, Blue Ridge has the gear for you. Whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, like today, hiking, climbing, You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or at brms.com. All right, Una, what type of senior citizen is looking for work?
Well, you think about the group of people that's out there that they have their nest egg, and suddenly with the economy what it is, it's kind of cracked wide open. And, you know, a lot of people, they have their 401ks, and they start dipping into that, and they kind of get in a panic a bit because, you know, we're living longer. Thank goodness for medical science and all those good things. But their buffer is suddenly in jeopardy. So the Wall Street Journal had an interesting statistic. They said that this is the worst job market in almost three decades. Nearly 5% of workers age 55 and older were unemployed in December. That's a 58% jump from a year earlier and the highest percentage since 1983. That's phenomenal. And you think about, you know, the job market as a whole, there's a lot of competition out there. There's college graduates. There's, you know, a lot of skills and talent to be had. So people start looking for jobs that are going to be fulfilling at this point in their life, something that's going to be supplemental, that's not going to tap into their Social Security benefits. It's really tricky.
What do you mean by not tap into their Social Security? I mean, do you lose Social Security if you take on a particular job or make a certain amount of money?
There are limitations, absolutely. If you make over a certain amount of money, you're penalized, and it's quite a little quandary.
It sounds like that's sort of the aspect that many families face, which is someone, the second party going to work, but now they have to spend almost all of that for child care.
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Essentially, yes. Yes. But, you know, we've seen a lot of people from all different walks of life. We've seen people who are retired professionals, you know, retired doctors, retired nurses, who don't want to go back into that because of the ramifications financially, you know, like with liability insurance and malpractice insurance and all these things that they can't afford. So they're looking for ways to give back to the community. They're compassionate people. They're people who still want a flexible schedule, that kind of thing. And so that's where, you know, we've been able to help a lot of people in our community.
Are there particular career or job, I guess, categories that are looking for more mature potential employees? I mean, obviously, I would think that if someone is over 65 and has retired as a doctor and doesn't wish to return to that career for many reasons, some of which you just listed, what do they do? Where do they turn? Which type of corporation, which job field is looking for the mature employee?
Well, we certainly are. We definitely are, because you look at that strong work ethic that generation has. You also have the benefit of somebody who has probably taken care of an older family member who has that experience to draw from. So, yeah, we are 100% looking for that. 60% of our folks.
So let's say that it's a cashier or someone who worked, drove the trash truck for a while. I'm sorry, Jean, I didn't mean to take that away from you, but... So I chose the example of a doctor in front of two guests who are in a medical care field. But what if it's someone who doesn't have that? Where do you turn? Are people working in their cubicle, you know, being the IT tech? You know, hi, have you turned your computer off and on again? You know, is it the person working at Amazon.com? Is it the person working at Barnes & Noble? Who is hiring?
I think a lot of the people, excuse me, that hire hourly employees are starting to understand the fact that our senior population is one of the best workforces out there. I don't think a lot of corporate America gets that yet because they're so 9-to-5, 40-hour week. They want that full-time person. Whereas my opinion is I'd rather have 40 amazing part-time people than 20 okay full-time people. So I think people are starting to get it, but I don't know that it's a culture yet in most organizations.
Who has gotten it? I mean, do you know of any particular, and you know, we can only do so much here because I'm not trying to pick on particular businesses and push them in front of others, but are there fields of the cellular phone industry, the public service industry, the, you know, that where it's well known that if you're a good senior citizen looking for a paying job, start here?
I don't get that feel from any industry. I think when we're all out and about in our daily lives, I'm seeing more seniors in retail environments. We see them in fast food. I'm not seeing a real trend anywhere yet.
All right. 1140 here on the Wake Up Call. Call up with your question, 979-0919, or your comment, 979-0919. We'll get you directly here. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free. WNRN Studio. Maybe you're sitting at home enjoying the nice chilly day with a little bit of flaky snow out on the ground.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
4 decades after two young Stanton women were shot to death in an ice cream parlor, the mystery of who killed them is solved. But the murderer's motive and the reason the case wasn't solved sooner remain unanswered questions. This week's expert gives tips on growing small fruits around your home, and folk music icon Joan Baez talks to The Hook. The Hook, a wonderful read on a wintry day. And let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being here with us. Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. We got about 18 minutes left in the program. So at noon, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Perdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative, no Elton John, Christopher Cross, or Air Supply. But you will hear Foo Fighters, Offspring, and Radiohead. And requests, always welcome. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, we're here in the studio with Una Izzell, Human Resources, and Gene McCusker, Home Instead Senior Care, as we talk about the economics and how that plays out on our senior citizens. Una, what happens to the elderly who have a substantial health problem and can't return to work?
Well, that's
do we have any
question.
Statistics on that sort of person who, I mean, Gene, I believe you told me at the start of the program, by the way, cvillepodcast.com if you need to hear the whole topic or want to make a comment afterwards, that the average income for a senior citizen is $36,000, and I would assume that that plays into a lot of folks at the early years who still have a fair amount of money coming in, maybe from their more recent job, as opposed to those in their late 80s who are now just living off government money. Yet assisted living is $75,000?
Actually, that's nursing care. Assisted living starts about $3,000 a month per person.
So nursing care. Well, you can't go out and get another job. If you have nursing care, my guess is that very, very few can go out and get any part-time job with some extra disposable income.
Right. If you're at the nursing home level and don't have the resources, you're going to utilize Medicare until you have no more resources left, and then you will qualify for Medicaid.
It's just, I get more depressed on this topic the more I listen to the program. I hope no one else is getting too depressed to call in and make a comment. Sean is out there and can pass along your question or comment if you choose not to come on air. But you've got what seem to be a large number of people. What is the percentage of senior citizens in our general population? Do we know that? Are we talking? Because we all know that it's increasing.
It is definitely increasing, and it's going to be the largest part of our population very shortly. And the largest growing part of our population is the 85 and over.
But there's a fixed income.
And that 36,000, Rick, I just want to reiterate, that is three-fourths have 36,000 or less. That's not an average. That's 3/4 of the senior population have less than $3,000 a month income. So there's not a lot of resources out there for them to get help.
Well, let's talk about the families then, because you mentioned it with a quick sentence earlier when we were talking to Jim Duncan about the housing aspect, about how the income from the family can go to help in one area until the medical needs become even greater, and now the family can't support their own mortgage. If you can't afford to put your elderly family member into an assisted living care or into a nursing home, and so they need to come live with you, that's part of what Home Instead is about, correct?
Yes, that we go in and help families take care of their loved ones at home. But a lot of times it's a resource issue. Aging is not inexpensive, and it's not covered by insurance. So often people go into this thinking, oh, well, Medicare will take care of mom at home. Well, Medicare won't. And there's a lot of push in Washington to start helping people make different decisions. Right now, Medicare and Medicaid have an institutionalized approach. Their goal is to put people in a facility if they need help, and there's not a lot of resources for at home. And so there's been a lot of push through the National Private Duty Association. Home Instead Senior Care has been lobbying and doing a lot of research to try to figure out how to adjust the system. People want to stay home. They don't want to go into a facility. And the way the system works right now, we're pushing them towards a facility because there aren't any resources to help keep them at home.
Here's a question off the Internet, WNRN Studio. Is who becomes the caretaker if the elderly don't have offspring?
If they don't have offspring, we have seen a trend towards more and more nieces and nephews, which I find interesting. Then they go into the adult protective system. The adult protective system can name a guardian who will actually make decisions for them. They can name payees who will actually pay their bills for them. So there are places out. That's kind of the last-ditch approach. If somebody doesn't have somebody, adult protective services gets somebody in and gets them involved to help take care of that person.
Is that forced upon them? Is that the state saying, we're choosing you? We're sending the bill to you. We're requiring you to make the decision. Or is that by the way, you're the closest person, and we would like you to do it, but if you can't, well, then the state pays for everything.
Well, there's two questions there. One, who's making the decisions? If somebody gets to that point, it really depends on their mental status. If they have dementia and they're not able to make the decisions, or are they able to make the decisions themselves? There's also the financial aspect that I can no longer physically pay my bills. I don't have the wherewithal to write the checks. I don't know how to do it anymore, or never had to do it because my spouse did it. Sometimes a guardian can be named. If there is no money, that's when they go into the Medicaid system.
Yeah, but is the state forcing this to happen? If I'm the person that the state finds because there's no one else out there for an elderly person in my family, does the state say, by the way, it's you and we're sending the bills to you, Rick Moore? Or does the state find me and say, I don't know if you're aware of this, but here's the problem. Can you step forward?
In the situation where you're helping somebody pay your bills, that doesn't mean I'm financially helping them. That just means that I'm helping them with the process. If they are at the point where they can't make decisions, a lot of times once they're in a nursing home, the nursing home is then responsible for the finances of that person. As far as the actual decisions on their health care, I have not had to deal with anybody at that point that has absolutely no one. I would say that it's probably a decision of the physician at that point as to how to move forward with that person.
Gene McCusker here in the studio, Home Instead Senior Care. Una Izell also here talking about the human resources aspect and getting folks hired and helping them find a job. As we talk about economics and senior citizens, 11:49 on the wake-up call. Sean is out there. If you choose to call up, make a question or a comment, pass it forward. 979-0919, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Do you know, is there a tax break for children who are caring for an aging parent at home?
I don't believe there is.
I'm not aware of one.
No?
Mm-mm.
So tell me how Home Instead works then, because if you're there's not enough funds for the family, if there's not enough funds for the elderly person on their own to pay for a nursing home or assisted living, and so they're back in the house using the family members to, on that's where they live, and the family is also suffering from the economic times, how does Home Instead come in and help the situation? Because you're not a government-run facility. This isn't free social service work.
Most of our work is private pay, so the family would figure out what they actually can afford. Social Services does have some companion funds that we do work for them as well, for the folks that can't afford our services. It's just one of those things that you look at the statistics on aging. 1 in 4 Americans is taking care of a family member, so whether that be in their home or not. And it's called the sandwich generation, the son or daughter that has kids at home and mom just moved home, and they're just making do. And when we go into those situations, a lot of time the stress is unbelievable. When you walk in and you see this family trying to take care of mom who has dementia, and the 2 and 3-year-olds are crying, and the wife is staying at home and taking care of all these folks, it's very, very difficult. And people are doing it. They're limping along, and I bet you we have some listeners out there that are struggling with it every day that can speak to that. And it's we're seeing people find the way to say, okay, I just need 3 hours a week to take a break. And that's really sad when you think that that's the only break somebody's getting. But you go back to the nuclear family, it's important to be part of that process too.
You mentioned that the cost of assisted living facility could be $3,000.
Yes.
As opposed to a nursing home,
which can be $7,000 to $8,000 a month.
Do either have space these days with the rising number of the elderly out there?
Yes, there is definitely room in this area for assisted living. I know a lot of people will say, well, mom's going to go in assisted living. I'd rather her move to Charlottesville so I can at least go check on her. So we see a lot of that when mom makes the decision to move out of her home, they put them in a facility that is closer to a child so the child can be very active in the care.
Una Ezell, human resources aspect. Do you see assisted living seniors coming to you looking for work?
Not so much, no.
Not so much.
Mm-mm.
So once you reach that stage, you're pretty much out of the workforce entirely?
I would say so, yes.
Yes.
So in most cases.
Tell me a little bit about the group that we are talking about who are looking for work. They are retired. I know that because you mentioned that earlier. But what are their other aspects do you find consistently among these folks?
Well, I would say that it's definitely more of a supplemental type income. We find people who, as I mentioned earlier, they have their 401ks and, you know, they're trying really hard not to dip into that so that it doesn't affect them later on in life. But just something to supplement. And we have a wide range of age groups. We've got, you know, 50 on up to what?
Our oldest caregiver was 82 years old, 82. And she could run circles around us.
Mm-hmm. So it depends, I think, a lot on, you know, where they are as far as their physical conditions and their mental conditions and you know, the willingness, I guess, to help. But, yeah, we see all ranges in that.
And we had one person that applied for us that retired, and you know, a professional, and her comment was, I can only eat bonbons for 6 days. I had to get back and do something. So we see a lot of those folks as well, that they're retired, and because we are so much more active as we age, people don't want to sit around.
And what do you have them do? When you talk about a caregiver, if you're 82 years old, As a caregiver, because that was what you said, right? A caregiver, not someone accepting care. What do you have a caregiver do?
Well, you think about those family-oriented activities, like just helping somebody fix a sandwich or fixing a sandwich for them and engaging them in that conversation and keeping them mentally stimulated and emotionally in the loop, so to speak. Reminding them to take their medications, something as simple as that. Sitting down and going through a scrapbook and making sure that, you know, that their memories are kept up to date, or, you know, that the documentation is happening, so that, you know, when their grandkids come, they've got the picture albums and that kind of thing that they can go through. It's running errands, you know, shopping, going with them to the grocery store, taking them out for a lunch date. Lots of little things that they can do.
My girlfriend would tell you that I need assisted care.
Well, I have to state one thing that a friend of mine...
She tells me to take my medications twice a day.
Well, a friend of mine did tell me one day that all men are born into assisted living and stay there their whole lives.
That is so mean.
I thought it was quite comical, though.
I'm sure she's laughing on the other end of the radio waves. All right, economics and senior citizens here, the last few minutes of the program. Una Ezell and Jean McCusker, also a thanks to Jim Duncan for participating earlier in the program on the housing aspect of things. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me take and thank you for this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg.
I just wanted to focus a second. We keep quoting what's going on in Detroit, and I think all of us feel somewhat isolated here in Charlottesville. We live in a little bubble in a beautiful place with lots of great things going on, but Detroit's a few years ahead of us as to what's going on in the economy, and I only hope we don't get there. And we're seeing families struggle up there. We're seeing children getting laid off. They pull mom out of the assisted living, bring her home so that the check stays at home. So I think we're going to see some changes here in Charlottesville. And we're just going to have to keep our eyes open to see what's going on.
Is anything happening? You're right. The issues happening in Detroit have been mentioned several times. But does it hit big cities first?
Well, I think because of the big three, it's hitting there ahead of the curve. And I actually have a peer up there I've been talking to quite frequently about it. And it really is fascinating. But I have started seeing it here. We've had some children laid off that say, okay, we can't afford mom's care anymore. I'm going to do it. I've been laid off. I will go take care of her. We're seeing some seniors, their investments, they're getting a little nervous. So they say, I'll live without you for a while, even though they really need us. And I do believe we're going to see more of that. I don't think we'll see it on the same scale, but I don't think we can ignore it either.
Well, and it's not any sort of grand problem for this one family that I'm aware of, but she went back to work part-time to bring in a little income into the house because they didn't want to have to strain to pay the mortgage because they were comfortable living where they were. It certainly doesn't apply in any sense in terms of medical issues or any of the other things that we've talked about. But he was working. She was being the homemaker. And at some point, she said, well, you know what? I need to find another job. All right, let's take this call real quick as we are finishing up the program. And we've got Phyllis from Nelson County. Hi, Phyllis.
Oh, thanks for this wonderful program. I just happened to tune it in 10 minutes ago. I'm a laughter lady and happiness consultant, and there's so many simple little techniques people can use themselves and with their families for laughter and stress reduction, trusting their intuition. So I want to wish you all, the people who are working for people and all the families, more laughter, which helps your whole cardiovascular system and helps you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. All the best to all of you.
All right, Phyllis, thank you very much, because that itself gave me some laughter. We are going to finish up here. Drew Thompson is next with Les Temps Purdue. Ladies, thank you both for coming on the program today. Jean McCusker, Una Ezell, Homestead Senior Care, Una specializing in the human resources side of things. Jim Duncan out there taking a call from me to talk about the housing aspect. Next week, we will have Dr. Atwater on the program, who specializes in near-death experiences, with a couple books on the shelves. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.